All right. So today, obviously, we're a few weeks before Christmas. And, you know, I typically preach a Christmas message. And I'm going to do that this year. And I'm going to do it from the same passage of scripture I did it from last year. Because I love this passage of scripture. Amen. And because it keeps speaking to me that which I have not yet seen or emphasized or taught. And so I've titled the message Christmas Prayer. Christmas Prayer. And I'm going to go to the book of Luke chapter 1. Because as we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ our Lord. And you know what that means, worldly speaking. Okay, for the world it means, yeah, what do you want? What are you going to get someone for Christmas? It means going out and buying gifts and so forth. And it means spending money. Amazon's going to go through the roof. We'll probably have a record year. And yet this year, like practically no other year in our lifetime, is not what to get someone, but are they still here for us to give them anything because of this pandemic? There are a lot of people, there are over 280,000 households who this Christmas will be the first Christmas that they experience that loved one not being there. And it's going to be very tragic, it's going to be very hard for them and what they're going to go through simply because of this virus. So therefore, this Christmas, like every other Christmas, the focus then is not presents under a tree, but it's presence in you and I being here. And presence always, always is greater than, you know, tangible presence under a tree. See, because Christmas is about God sending his only begotten son. God didn't send a gift that you could drive, that you could swing and play with. He sent a gift that saved our eternal souls. And that will always be the thrust of Christmas. And God help us to see, especially as believers, as we live out to a dying world, the fact that Jesus Christ came. This is the wonder, the beauty. This was the good news that was to bring to be great joy for all people that the angel declared to the shepherds. So Christmas prayer is the title of the sermon because God chose to use the prayers of his people in the Christmas story. This is just mind-blowing to me how God chose to use the prayers of his people in the bringing of his son and his forerunner in this case, as we'll look at Zachariah's son, John the Baptist. God used his people's prayers to usher that in. And I'll never cease to be amazed at how God uses prayer, the prayer of these, you know, finite, we're here for not a long time, yet God uses your prayer to change eternal destinies. He uses your prayer, okay? Let me also say this, God gives the best gifts. God gives the best gifts. Remember, I've said this before, we give things, human beings give things, but God gives people as gifts. He gave his only begotten son, and when his son left, he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The son gave the Holy Spirit, the person. The father gave the son gave the spirit. They both gave people, persons, entities to us. And so let me say to you, I'm not looking for any particular gift this Christmas or any Christmas. No, some people think, Pastor Shaw, I don't hate Christmas. It's just that I've got the greatest gifts. God gave me Jesus, and he's given me his Holy Spirit. Those are the greatest gifts that one could ever receive. Also, God gives the gifts that no one else can give. He gives the gifts that no one else can give. Now, as we do right by God that way, then we can enjoy everything else, right? Luke chapter 1, verse 5 reads, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So here we have a priest, Zacharias by name, married to a daughter of Aaron. So she was of the lineage of Aaron as well. And they were both walking before God in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord. Now, what is so blessed about the life of or about the circumstance with Zachariah is this. Number one, he was a priest. OK. And if you as you read your Old Testament, what you'll find is that when the children of Israel went into captivity, some of their genealogies were lost. And when they came out of captivity, those who were priests before they went into captivity, when they came back out and wanted to, Jerusalem was restored, they wanted to enter back into the priesthood. If they couldn't prove their genealogy, they were excluded from the priesthood. They couldn't serve. And one of the officials said, we will seek God through the Urim and the Thummim to see if we can to establish the fact that you were a priest. Well, many priests couldn't serve anymore because they couldn't establish their genealogy. Well, here Zacharias is serving as a priest. So that was a privilege all by itself. He was blessed to be serving as a priest during this time. And so they're walking before the Lord. They were righteous before God by walking in the revealed will of God for them through the law of Moses. So they're doing what is required of them, yet they had no child. They had no child. Now, God knows that they had no child. Amen. Question is, why do they not have a child? Is there something we don't know? And the answer to that question is, you know, there's always a whole lot we don't know. There was much that they didn't know. And so the question becomes, what do you do when you're doing everything as required, but you find yourself stigmatized, as it was in Israel for a woman who could not bear children? You know, it was a stigma. You know, it was something that people looked down on a woman if she couldn't have children. So much so that in ancient Israel, Sarah took her handmaid and said, here, Abraham, I'm going to get some children one way or another. But we're going to make this happen. And then, Leah did it when she stopped bearing, and Rachel did it when she stopped bearing. They did it with their handmaids. I mean, it was a stigma. And in some circles, it was a curse. People thought was upon you because you couldn't have children. You remember Hannah cried out to God. She wouldn't eat. God, give me a son. Give me a son. But as we see in the case of Sarah and Rebecca and Leah and Rachel, all whose wombs were closed at one point or another, Hannah's womb, there was a purpose God had in their wombs being closed. It's interesting how we can make that application in Scripture, but we can't make it in real life. I have a pastor friend. He and his wife, they got married. They were married for years. I don't know how long. And they tried to have children, Nothing was working. They did the V whatever thing. And they did all of that. Nothing happened. They're praying. These are senior pastors of the church, big church. People pray, oh, God, give our pastor, let his wife. Nothing. They did everything they knew. And then one time when they were praying, they looked at each other and said, why don't we adopt a child? Let's just go and adopt. And they said, oh, they prayed about it. And they went and adopted the child. 2 months after adopting the child, boom, her womb flew open. And then she started having children. She had more than one. Before, nothing. But after, interesting, eh? How things work. Could it be God wanted them to adopt first? I don't know. I'm just telling you what happened. And so Elizabeth was going through this while in Exodus chapter 23 and 26, God says, if you obey my word, there will be no barren women in Israel. That's what God promised. He promised the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 14, that there would be no barrenness, not only among your women, but amongst your beasts, your cattle, so forth. Nothing would be barren. We know that they did not realize the fulfillment of that promise. Why? Because they didn't walk with God the way they ought to have, right? So there were multiple people barren, multiple women. But not only was Elizabeth barren and had been for a long time, as if they had been married a long time, she would have been barren a long time, but they were past the age of having children. The scripture would seem to imply, as it said, that they were well advanced in years. And so, like Abraham and Sarah, it seems that they would have been past the time. And so you ask yourself, what do you do when it seems like your time has passed you by? What do you do? Because this is the situation and the circumstance with Zacharias and Elizabeth. You're walking with God as best you know how, but you encounter adverse circumstances. Hello, that describes every one of us. We all have challenges and obstacles in this life. The question is, what do you do? What do you do? Well, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15 says, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He is speaking of Abraham, to whom God says, whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. Who curses you, I'm going to curse them. And he said, through you, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth, all the nations of the earth. And so Abraham had to endure patiently. And oftentimes we find ourselves in the same place. And that was the case with Zacharias and Elizabeth, to patiently endure. This is what I like to refer to as when the miraculous meets the mundane or the monotonous, right? Here's Zacharias serving as a priest. Now, serving as a priest is not mundane. Okay, in my mind, serving as a priest would not be monotonous. It would be who gets to go into the holy place, not the most holy place. Only the high priest could go in the most holy place. But who gets to go into the holy place but the priest? And how could that ever be mundane? Hello, you go in and the candlestick's there and the table of showbread is there. And then you go and offer the incense on the golden altar, which is before the big separating barrier before the holiest of all. And so, but yet Zacharias had been doing this, we would have to assume, for a while, serving in his course, the 24 courses that these priests served in during their lifetime. And so his serving as priest before God, what we see is his serving as priest before God is the place Zacharias belonged, even though there existed great challenges in his life. What are the great challenges? His wife is barren. He's old. She's old. And yet he's continuing to serve as priest. Where has God called you to serve him? Where has he called you? Where has he called us? In the medical profession? In the service industry? That's where I am. In retail, in government, in homemaking, education, etc. Where has God called you? Even though there might be, adverse circumstances there, even though there might be opposition, even though it might not be going the way you would want it to go. Because this is where Zacharias and Elizabeth were. They want a child, but Zacharias is continuing faithfully to serve God as a priest. Now, years ago, when we were in the other building, I remember us ministering. We had, I don't know, some visiting ministry in, and therefore we had people who were not part of our church come in. And I remember a man standing up, and we were ministering to him, and he said, "If God does not give me a ministry, I'm not going to serve him anymore." And I remember that coming out of his mouth, and I looked at him, and I wasn't a pastor, or I don't even know if I was an elder at the time. Maybe I was an elder. But anyhow, at any rate, the person ministering to him said, "What did you say?" He says, "Yeah, if God doesn't." So, and he said it again, and we were shocked. We're looking at, and we told him, "Look, God owes you nothing. First of all, God is a debtor to no man. He owes you nothing. Second of all, you're ignorant because every one of us has a ministry. You read your Bible. Every one of us has a ministry. You just apparently don't know what yours is or don't feel comfortable. But God has given every one of us a ministry. Read Romans chapter 12. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So forth and so on. And so here is Zacharias serving God. In that place, he's faithfully serving God, even though his life is difficult because his wife cannot get pregnant. And so that speaks to you and I, because you and I are sustaining. We have difficult areas in our lives, something that we can't do anything about. But we are to continue faithfully in it, serving God, because we may not be able to do anything about it, but God can. Amen. And so the scripture goes on in verse 8, and it says, "So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was outside, was praying outside at the hour of incense." Now, here I'm sure you will remember this. Was the fact that it is no coincidence that Zacharias was offering incense at the time that the people were praying. Psalm 141 and verse 2 says, David says, he says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice." David said this hundreds of years before this occurred. He said, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense." And as incense, as is put upon the coals and it begins to rise up to God as a sweet aroma to God, so our prayers arise to God and they're sweet. He's waiting to hear our prayers. Hello. And so while Zacharias is inside offering incense, the whole multitude of the people are praying outside. Now, one commentary makes this comment. "The part assigned to each priest in his week of service was decided by lot." Okay? Or what we would call by chance. Three priests were employed at the offering of incense to remove the ashes of the former service, to bring in and place on the golden altar the pan filled with hot burning coals taken from the altar of burnt offering, and the third to sprinkle the incense on the hot coals, and while the smoke of it ascended, to make intercession for the people. And Zacharias' part was the third part. His part was to put the incense on the hot coals and then to intercede for the people who were praying outside, right? Now, what's interesting to me is that Zacharias, as priest, was making intercession for the people at the same time that his prayer is being heard by God. And we'll see that in a second as we go further. But let me say also what this second commentary says. Zacharias was chosen by lot to be the priest who offered the incense. Because of the large number of priests, this would be the only time in Zacharias' life when he was allowed to perform this task. In other words, there were so many priests It only fell on you one time, if at all. There were many priests who never got to offer incense to God. But the lot fell on Zacharias this time. Amen. Because it was not coincidence. Amen. Hallelujah. And oh, how I could go into so many stories about it not being coincidence in this priest's life. Amen. And I'm sure if we opened it up, there would be all these other priests who'd be saying, oh, I can tell you the same thing. Because there is no coincidence, not with God, not in his kingdom. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So Revelation 5 and 8 equates incense with prayer. So we see the same thing going on in Luke chapter 1. As he's offering incense to God, the smoke is arising to God. The people outside are praying to God, and their prayers are rising to God. Not only that, Zacharias' prayers was arising to God. You ever heard the term people ever say, I felt like my prayer never went past the ceiling, or I felt like my prayer never even went out the room? I used to hear people say that, and I say, good heavens, wait a second. Who on earth are you praying to? I ain't never felt like my prayer. No, I feel like I feel like Psalm 34, where David said, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. That's what I feel like when I pray. When I cry, hey, God, help me. Amen. Help me. I remember telling you when I was going to deliver this lady's rug, and she had a step that was too high. You know how your body knows how high a step is. And you're walking up regular steps, you just walk up. But her step was too high, and my foot hit that step, and I went forward, and my head was going straight for a steel pole. And I had I'm falling forward, and I'm looking at this pole. And I remember I didn't even have chance to say, Jesus. I didn't have a chance to get it out of my mouth. But in my mind, I said, oh, God. And something, I don't know how, I was going straight for the pole. And something, my body shifted and went to the right. I took the pole right here in my shoulder, which, you know, I got up and I was fine. And I said, oh, God, look here. And people say, I feel like my prayer ain't never gone. I'm like, oh, no, I ain't never felt that. Mm-mm. No, why? Because the Bible says this in Revelation 8 and 3. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended. What happens to your prayers when you pray? They ascend. All prayers, they ascend before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. That's what you call the answer to prayer. The prayers went up to God. The angel took them, filled and put it in a censer with incense and fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. That's answered prayer, church. So the God who created the universe has determined to use the prayers of his people in his plan of redemption. This is why I'm constantly saying, you know, prayer is the breath of the Christian. If you're breathing, you're praying. If you're breathing, you're praying. Not literally mouthing words, but practicing the presence, always in communication with God, walking with God. I tell you, I had on Friday, was it Friday? Maybe it was Wednesday. I can't remember. But I went to a woman's house, first job. I go to the woman's house. She had me clean a vacant house, clean the carpet. I said, all right. And so I'm going out to get my hose, and she was inside the house. I'm going out to get my hose, and I come out, and there she is standing by her car, and I looked at her, and it was like she never even looked at me. It looked like she looked right past me. And I said, I ain't paying attention to her, although I said, now, Father, look at her. I don't know what's happening here, but look at her. She. And so when I come back out, she's around the back of my truck. And I got a big old 2-inch hose that I took out, and it's on the ground, and I'm pulling it to the house. And she went to step over that hose. And I'm always telling people, don't be walking around my hoses. That hose will jump up and grab your foot. You think you cleared it? It will jump up and grab your foot. Let me tell you, you think you cleared it? And her foot hit the hose, and she started to go down. But I grabbed her. You understand? Amen. I grabbed her, and I said, ma'am, you need to sit down. And I looked at her, and her eyes were glazed over, and she looking straight ahead. Now, you talk about prayer. I'm always talking about prayer because, listen, church, in this life, you're going to pray. Why? Because you need God. I tell you, I need him. And so I grabbed this woman, and I said, ma'am, you need to sit down. You want to sit down? And she dropped the thing she had in her hand. She dropped them. But she's not responding to me. And I'm said, okay, Lord, am I going to have to call 911? Am I going to have to? What is wrong with this woman? And so a couple minutes go by, and I saw some people walking up the street. I said, oh, here comes my salvation. A woman pushing a stroller and a man beside her walking a dog. And when they got close enough to me, they're probably about where my brother Daniel is. And I motioned to the woman. I said, come here. I need some help. The woman looked at me, crossed the street. Because now here's this big black man out here holding a white woman. And I thought to myself, now this father, Lord Jesus, how's this looking? And I got hope to her because every time I went to let her go, she'd go. She'd be like, you're ready to fall. And I'm like, oh, Lord, Father, help me. I'm like, talk about prayer. Come on now. And I'm thinking through this. I'm like, this woman crosses the street. Remind me of the Good Samaritan when the Levite came and looked at the man. Well, he didn't even look. He crossed the street, went by on the other side. And the man followed her. Got one on the other street. Wouldn't even look at me. Took one look at me. Wouldn't look at me any further. Crossed the street and went on up. They said, hey, you on your own. Hey, that's what I felt like. I said, oh, Lord. So I said to the woman, the whole time now, you have to understand, the whole time you're in prayer. I finally said to the woman, I said, ma'am, we need to sit down. I don't know how many times I said that. She said, sim, cham, 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 cham. I said, oh, no. Mm-mm. No, that's not tongues. I said, ma'am, we need to sit down. Cham, 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 cham. This is why not a, this is not a Chinese woman. This is a Caucasian woman. She's probably in her, I don't know, 60s, 70s, something like that. I don't know. I can't tell these days. Anyhow. And so I'm praying the whole time. And finally I asked her again. I said, ma'am, you need to sit down. She says, it's okay. It's okay. Go, go. It's okay. It's okay. I'm like, it's not okay. You done dropped everything out here. How's it okay? This is not okay. That's what I'm thinking to myself. But she said, it's okay. I said, okay, I'm going to let you go. Okay. I mean, if I come back out here and find you on the street, then, you know, we'll have to work that out. But I need to go in here and clean this car. So I let her go. And I went on into the house. And when I came back downstairs, she's in the kitchen standing there like nothing ever happened. Well, when we were talking, though, we were talking about something. And she said, well, I ordered something because I'm a diabetic. And it clicked. It clicked. What happened? I said her blood sugar dropped. And she didn't know where she was. She didn't know what she was doing. She didn't, you know, she probably didn't even know the whole episode even happened. Because she never said, thank you. She never said, I appreciate it. She never said anything. And I'm good with it. I'm fine with that because I'm just thanking God that he heard my cry, that we didn't end up at the hospital. The woman didn't die, you know, and all of this business I would have had to go through. I was crying. I was praying. Lord, these people left me, didn't come help. And I'm standing out here and it's cold outside and it was crazy. But I'm praying. I'm praying, Father. Help me. So, you're going to pray in this life. Get used to it. Get real comfortable with it. Amen. Verse 11, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And so the angel appeared at the time of intercession and prayer. So when the angel appeared to Zacharias, that the time of intercession and prayer was at the same time he was offering incense on the altar of incense. But doesn't that sound familiar that the angel showed up when he was praying? Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard.'" From the time that you set yourself to humble yourself and to seek God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. The angel Gabriel said, "I have come because of your words." What happens when we pray? Well, one of the things we see here is that an angel moved. An angel was sent by God because of the prayers of Daniel. Verse 13 goes on and says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard.'" So here's what we find out. Not only were the people praying outside, but Zacharias had been in prayer. He said, "For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So in the place where the priest prays for others, Zacharias hears, "Your prayer is heard." So while he was interceding for others, God was tending to his need. Hello, can that help us a little bit? So when we pray, don't only pray for what we need. Pray for what someone else needs. Intercede on behalf of others. The angel said, "Zacharias, your prayer is heard." What do we get out of that? Husbands, pray for and with your wives. Pray for your wives. The first person I think of every morning when I wake up, I think about my wife. I say, "Jesus, Father, touch her emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, in every way. Lord, overwhelm her with your grace. Carry her. Strengthen her with supernatural strength. Lord, where she can do, oh God, with supernatural ability, that, Lord, without which she would not be, it would not be possible." And so we pray as Zacharias was praying for his wife, as Isaac prayed, Rebecca was barren for 20 years. Isaac was 40 years old when they married. He was 60 years old when Esau was born. She was barren for 20 years. Isaac prayed for 20 years. What have you and I been praying for 20 years? Just saying that to encourage us. Through faith and patience, we obtain the promise. Abraham, the scripture says, he endured patiently and saw the promise come to pass. So not only were the people praying outside at the offering of incense, but Zacharias' prayer was heard by God. Zacharias was still praying. Or was he? Because sometimes you wonder when the angel said, "You're going to have this son," and Zacharias says something like, "Well, how do I know this is going to happen?" Makes you wonder if he was still praying when the angels, you know, said, "You're going to have a son." Or maybe he was praying for years and then stopped, but God still heard his prayer nonetheless. So here's the answer to the question, what do you do when you've done all the things required of you? You pray in faithful continuance to God. You pray and you keep on praying and you keep on serving God. That's what Zacharias and Elizabeth did. Was Zacharias' prayer heard all the years he prayed for Elizabeth? Yes, they were, each and every one. I had someone send me a text this morning, a picture of someone that we've been praying for years. 4 years, literally, 4 years. I'm going to say at least 10 years. And seemingly this person can't get it together, but we keep praying. We keep praying. I remember when David and Marilyn Morales came to the church and they were saying, "Pray, please pray for their son, DJ." DJ back then was being harassed by the police. They would pull him over, jack him up, you know, because his car had tinted windows, anything. They would bother this young man. Well, we prayed for I don't know how many years, but in 2008, he came in here, got saved, and his friends got saved, and all kinds of people got saved. A whole bunch of people got saved. Why? Because of prayer. And then Marilyn Starr said, please pray for my son, Cedric. Cedric was homeless, living in the bushes around different places. Didn't have a thing. Today, Cedric is on Facebook putting up pictures of his home. This man's life has been radically changed. He's not homeless anymore. He's not homeless. He has a place. He's working two jobs. His life has totally turned upside down. Why? Because the prayers of his mother, because the prayers that she has sought for him, I believe, is all because of prayer. And so all those years Zacharias was praying for his wife, those prayers were heard. Question is, why was his prayer answered now instead of then? Well, sometimes the most satisfying gifts are the ones that we have waited long for. Hello? Sometimes the most satisfying gifts are the ones that we've had to wait, we had to patiently endure, we had to labor, keep serving God. They're the most satisfying and fulfilling. But another reason is that prayer is not all about our will or what we want. It's also about God's will and what he wants. And so God answered the prayer. He just didn't answer it in their timing. He answered the prayer, but he just didn't answer it in their timing. Jesus said in Matthew 6:26-42, he said, Father, if it be your will, he says, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. And so Jesus conditioned his praying upon the Father's will. Prayer, church, is not about us twisting God's arm to do what we want him to do. And there's a whole lot of that going on in the church. Come on. It's a whole lot. We serve a merciful Father. We serve a merciful Father. And so God gave them the best gift. It wasn't a thing. It was a person. Hello? This Christmas, God, I was thinking about this a couple of days ago when I woke up. And I was thinking about all that was going on in our lives, and the thought crossed my mind, this Christmas, God gave my mother-in-law her daughter. Because God doesn't give things, he gives people. My mother-in-law doesn't need things, she needs somebody to be there, to love her, to care for her. And God sent her, her daughter. Also, however many years ago, God sent my mother-in-law, her daughter. Right? So the gift goes back and forth. So as I've said before, they wanted a son, but God wanted a forerunner for his son, the Lord Jesus. God fulfilled them inside of his will for them. So they wanted a child, they wanted a son, but God wanted something. And so God used his will to accomplish their will, and he wouldn't do it outside of his will. You see, this is the only way we can truly be satisfied is when our wills are satisfied by his will. The moment we have to go outside of the will of God to get what we think we want, i.e. Sarah and Abraham with Ishmael, we make a whole mess. We make a big mess thinking that, well, I'm going to go get what I want. And it has to be the way I want it. Remember Balaam? Remember Balaam when, you know, they came to curse Israel and God let his will be known. He says, you shall not go with them. They come back to Balaam again, and Balaam goes back to God and says, he says, let me check with God again. In other words, maybe God changed his mind, or maybe I can get him to change his mind. So Balaam goes back to God, and God says, go on, Balaam. They're calling you. Go on with them. But God hadn't changed his mind. And therefore, the angel of the Lord stood before Balaam with his sword drawn and was about to kill Balaam. But the donkey turned around. But the donkey saved Balaam's life. You see, Balaam was seeking to fulfill what he wanted outside of what God, the revealed will of God, God had already revealed his desire. And Balaam said, well, I don't care about that. I'm going to get what I want. Lord Jesus, please help us. Please help us not to do that. And so God granted them their request while glorifying himself in their son's birth. Because you remember the angel said, you know, this child's going to bring great joy to a great many people. God's going to glorify himself through John. Why? Because Elizabeth was barren and they were over age. And so only God could cause her womb to open up and to actually bear a child. So God glorified himself in their son's birth and in his life, who would become the prophet of the highest, according to Luke 1:76. God was in it all the time. You say, but she was barren. Yeah, God was in that. You say, wait a second. You mean the hard things? There's some hard things I'm going through right now. God's in the midst of it. Joseph said this. Don't be upset with yourselves in Genesis chapter 50, around about verse 20. He said, don't be upset with yourselves. He said, God sent me before you to preserve life. Hold on, wait a second. But the way you got here, we lied on you. We threw you in a pit. We sold you into slavery. Yeah, Joseph said, yeah, God sent me and all of that. You know, Joseph saw that then, but he didn't see it when he was in the pit. And when we're in our hard place, we don't have the perspective. We can't see it. It's not until later that it becomes evident, that it becomes clear to us what God has done. Zacharias and Elizabeth got so much more than what they were praying for. Remember, they just wanted a son. God wanted a prophet of the highest. The one who would run before the Messiah and say, make straight the highway for the Lord. That's who John was. John was the precursor. He was the one who came before the Messiah, who turned the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. He came in the spirit of Elijah. He shook the nation of Israel with his preaching. And so Zacharias and Elizabeth only wanted a son, but God gave them the prophet of the highest. They had no clue that was going to be the case. But why did they get so much more than what they were praying for? Why? Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. They only wanted a son, but God wanted a man and a prophet who would prepare Israel for the coming of the Messiah. Listen, church, God does so much more through our prayers than simply what we ask. They were just praying for a son. They were just praying for a child. God says, no, I'm going to get my will done. And I'm going to get a prophet. I'm going to raise up a prophet who would declare my word. And so that being the case, I simply say this. So ask. Ask. Pray. Pray. In this Christmas season, this Christmas time, pray. They were praying for a son. Was it worth the wait? It most certainly was. Why? They weren't praying for a thing. They're praying for a person. So who are we praying for? They were praying for a natural birth. Who are we praying for that would realize a spiritual birth in the kingdom of God? Who are we praying for in this Christmas season? Believing God for. That their eyes will be open to the truth. Be born again. Be saved. God can give us things like, he can give us anything at any time. People are different. My prayer is that we would value the people that God has put within our lives. That we would value husbands and wives. That we would value fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters. Come on. Because God has given them to us. Every day I thank God for the family he birthed me into. My father and my mother, no one perfect. And me, most of all. But I thank him for my grandfather, my grandmother, and then my mind goes all the way back how he's carried all of us. Thanking God for all of them. Thanking God for our son and our daughter. And going forward, all that he's going to bring, all the people he's going to bring out of this. So ask. Zacharias and Elizabeth asked, and their prayer was heard. So we need to ask, because God hears and answers our prayer. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you now for the word of God. We thank you that your word came to Zacharias through the angel because of the prayers that he prayed, because he sought your face. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for the prayers that you've given us to pray. I thank you for the unction. I thank you for the desires. I thank you, Lord, for even the uncomfortable situations, Lord, that cause us to cry out and say, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, save this loved one. Oh, God, rescue that person. Oh, God, would you help me to be influential in seeing people come to Christ? Lord, I thank you, oh, God, that you've fashioned life that way, that we would continually cry out to you, we in such great need of you, our Creator and our Savior. And so, Father, I pray that all that you're doing by the power of your Holy Spirit, through your word in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, not only during this Christmas season, not only during this time where we celebrate our Lord's birth, but all year long, Father, that we would be aware, that we would hear, that we would cry out, and we would see the fruit of our prayers, oh God, as you, Lord, rescue, as you deliver, as you save, as you set free those by the power of your Spirit. Father, we ask all of this and we give you thanks for it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen. Amen, amen. The Lord bless you.